Good morning. Happy Sabbath. Hey, Tony. It's good to see you this morning. Thank you for your time. Thank you for being with us this morning. Thank you for those who have visited and have chosen to worship with St. Andrew's this morning. You are welcome here. And we thank you for being with us. And we pray that our worship service will be a blessing to you. Thank you also. I just want to mention before I read our text and launch into prayer and our message for today. I just want to thank the ministry of the blankets. You can see the blankets that are around, eh? The ministry of the blankets on those seats there. If you do see one rolled up, yes, that is for you to borrow and use to keep yourself warm during our service. And if you just roll it back up again and leave it there when the service is over. But thank you so much to those who have donated those blankets to keep us warm. If only we could warm up this area here on the stage a bit more, it'd be awesome. Yeah. We have finished, and our Pathfinders did an awesome job of finishing off our series in the book of Ephesians. But I do want to launch from a text that is found in the book of Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 6 is a text that we'll launch in. We'll launch in the New Testament, but land in the Old Testament. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 13. And then just the start of verse 14. This is what Ephesians 6 and verse 13 says. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. In the first two words in the New King James Version of Ephesians 6 and verse 14, simply says, stand therefore. And today, for the rest of our time together, before we have lunch together, if you weren't planning to stay, please do. You've got half an hour to change your mind. For the rest of our time together this morning, I will speak under the title, The Weaponry of Praise. The Weaponry of Praise. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for our time together this morning. And we pray, Father, that you will speak and that we will gain a blessing from your word. In Jesus' name, amen. In 2 Chronicles chapter 20, we read a story that talks about the weaponry of praise. 2 Chronicles chapter 20. And in the first two verses, this is what it says. It happened after this, that the people of Moab with the people of Ammon and others with them, besides the Ammonites, came to battle against Jehoshaphat. Then some came and told Jehoshaphat, saying, a great multitude is coming against you from beyond the sea, from Syria, and they are in Hazazon Tamar, which is En Gedi. This is not Jehoshaphat's first rodeo. This is not the first bit of bad news that Jehoshaphat has come across in his time as king. He was installed as king at a very young age, 35 years old, when his father died, and he took the reins of king. And not long after we read about him taking the throne, we see him going into battle with Ahab, King Ahab, the wicked King Ahab, against Syria. And there we see that Jehoshaphat's legacy is a legacy of reliance on God. King Ahab had a few false prophets that he had employed to just rubber stamp everything that he had done or every decision that he had made. And he employed these prophets to come in and tell him whether or not he should go into battle against Syria. And these prophets said, yeah, of course. Of course you should go. God will give them into your hand. And yet Jehoshaphat warns against this and says, surely there is a prophet of the Lord. Is there not a prophet of the Lord in the land that can give you an actual answer from God? And Ahab's response is, there is one, but I don't like him. He's always telling me what I don't want to hear. The interplay is quite humorous when you go back and read the story. And that prophet's name is Micaiah. And they call in Micaiah, and Ahab asks Micaiah, should I go and march against these people and claim them back? And Micaiah says, sure, go. And Ahab says, come on. When have you ever agreed with anything that I've ever asked you? And Micaiah turns around then and says, okay, well, here's the truth. what you've been told is a lie by all of these prophets. And if you march into battle, you will die there. And sure enough, just as Micaiah says so, Ahab receives a stray. The Bible says it's the stray arrow. And Ahab receives that in the gap of his armor. And as the sun is going down on that day of battle, he's propped up in his chariot, and there he dies. This is not Jehoshaphat's first war or first news of war. He's a pretty busy king as well. He spends his time in religious and political reforms, trying to bring back the nation of Judah to God, following in the footsteps of his father, continuing this legacy of ruling within the reigns of God, which previous kings had not. There's a term that I've heard used a few times this year. It's the term battle weary. Have you heard that term used at any point this year? Battle weary. When I first heard it used, I thought, what does that look like? What does it feel like? And I'm sure standing now in you know, we're past halfway through 2022. I'm sure standing now this far into the year, having gone through 2021, and before that, having gone through 2020, and before that, having gone through 2019, I'm sure that there's been moments in each of your lives, and I can truly say now that there has been moments in my lives, in my life, I've only got one, not a cat, I'm Queenslander, that the heat of the battle that you go through just makes you weary. There's certain things as pastors that you hear, and from 2019, especially in the office of pastor, there's been so much that's been happening. The integrity of pastors has been brought forth before the world, right? The private lives of ministers has been, everyone is under attack, right? No one is safe. But on top of that, there has been a sort of confusion and excitement that's been brought up, especially within our ranks as Seventh-day Adventists. A couple of years ago, somebody showed me a video from a lecturer, a preacher, that said that Jesus was going to come in 2027. And I thought, hey, this is news to me. So I sat down and I viewed that video, and I thought, wow, how could we get to that point where we cast doubt on what Jesus has said, that no one knows the day nor the hour? And I wrestled this week as to whether I should even say something like this, but then again, there is a responsibility to be able to lead people as a pastor. And I'm just sharing this because when Jesus says no one knows the day nor the hour, he meant it, right? And I'm just sharing it just in case in 2026 we're standing before the throne of judgment and we're thinking, oh, I thought we had another year to get ourselves right. Or in 2028 we're standing thinking, oh, now I'm in trouble, I stopped paying bills, I stopped paying taxes. But if we're standing there in 2027, you can turn to me and say, hey, I told you so. Right? Yeah, that's all good. Battle-weary people. Yeah. And Jehoshaphat, after everything that he's gone through, now is told that there's not one army. There are not two armies. No, there's three armies that are surrounding his city, ready to take him down. The Ammonites, the Moabites, some other people. Call them the Vegemites, right? They're surrounding his city, ready to march on. And look how he responds in verse 3. Jehoshaphat feared. Jehoshaphat feared. What do we do with fear? What does the Christian do with anxiety? One of the big things that is coming to the fore now is how much anxiety and depression has gone through the roof over these past few years. What do we do with that as Christians?
Philippians 4 and verse 6 says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, Paul continues, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Exchange your worries, exchange your anxiety for God's peace. And I love the way that Paul has written this text, because where does anxiety start mainly? It starts within, right? Right? In your heart, in your mind. And Paul is saying that when that happens, don't forget to pray. Jehoshaphat goes and he does the one thing that we do last. He comes before God. Not just him, but all of the nation of Judah. That's an interesting thing as well. We know that the name of Judah, or the name Judah means praise. We studied that in our lesson in the book of Genesis, right? Leah's son, Judah, means praise. And we're talking about the weaponry of praise this morning. And I wonder whether in this narrative, there is the desire to show us that these things that surround us, the enemies that surround us, and the things that we go through can often dampen our praise. I wonder if the battle weariness that you might be experiencing now might be sapping up and drying out your praise. I know for me, it definitely had. But instead of going away from God, Jehoshaphat comes to God. And not only him, but the whole nation of Judah. Let's pick it up in verse 6. Of 2 Chronicles chapter 20. This is his prayer. O Lord, God of our fathers, are you not God in heaven? Do you not rule over all the kingdoms of the nations? And in your hand is there not power and might, so that no one is able to withstand you? Are you not our God who drove out the inhabitants of this land before your people Israel and gave it to the descendants of Abraham, your friend, forever? And they dwell in it and have built you a sanctuary in it for your name, saying, if disaster comes upon us, sword, judgment, pestilence, or famine, we will stand before this temple and in your presence, for your name is in this temple, and cry out to you in our affliction, and you will hear and save. One fellow tells a story about a man who was in hospital, who had gotten into a pretty serious car wreck. And as he lay in the hospital, his darling wife was next to him. And he turned to his wife and he says, darling, you've always been there for me, haven't you? She says, yes. When I lost my first job, you were there. She says, yes. When the bills couldn't be paid, you were there. She says, yes. When I broke my leg that time, you were there. She says, yes. He says, and now you're here with me. She says, yes. He says, darling, you're bad luck. Jehoshaphat prays to God. And in his prayer, if you read it through slowly, all he's doing is reminding God of who he is and where he's been. God, are you not God of heaven? God, are you not the one that led us through all of the stuff that we've gone through before? Surely you are. Surely we are your people. And here we are standing before you. Friends, may our trials bring us before God. One writer said, you know, when the weight of the world brings you to your knees, you're in the perfect position to pray. And that's what these people are doing. Let's keep reading his prayer. Verse 10, and now here they are. Look, Lord, can't you see them? Here they are, the people of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, whom you would not let Israel invade when they came out to the land of Egypt, but they turned from them and did not destroy them. Here they are, rewarding us
by coming to throw us out of your position, which you have given us to inherit.
Verse 12 is the part of the prayer that I want you to land on, though.
O our God, will you not judge them? For we have no power against this great multitude that is coming against us, nor do we know what to do, but our eyes are upon you.
Lord, we don't know what to do, but this thing is for sure, our eyes are upon you. It's a wonderful imagery of prayer that we get from the sanctuary and its services. You know the sanctuary. You know that in Exodus 25 and verse 8, God says, you should build me a sanctuary that I shall dwell with them. We serve a God that wants to dwell with his people, right? And there in the sanctuary, you've got the altar, you've got the laver, and then you've got the actual building, right? You've got the holy place, and in it there are three articles of furniture. What do we got? We got the table of showbread, and we've got the menorah, we've got the seven-branch candlestick, and then right in the middle, right? And all of these buildings are separated by these thick curtains, and on those thick curtains embroidered angels, right? And they're right in the middle, right? In the place where through the curtain you know that the Holy of Holies is the mercy seat, the presence of God, the Shekinah glory. And right in front of that is this incense, this altar of incense. And you could imagine having come through into the tabernacle with your sacrifice, right? There's this innocent lamb. There's an innocent animal that will die on your behalf. And not being able to enter into the Holy of Holies, but perhaps seeing the priests come in and out of that place. And perhaps when they peep open the curtain, you catch a glimpse. You catch a glimpse of the smoke that is in there from the altar of incense. That represents prayer. And that thing was to be continually burning. And I'm happy this morning. I'm given strength where I have no strength, because I know that there are people who are praying for me. And just as that altar of incense was continually sending up prayers, we should be continually praying for one another as well. They come before God and they pray and they fast. Jehoshaphat's prayer is full of dependence on God. He sees fit to remind God of his past acts of deliverance and that he is God and none other. I think God likes it when we pray the scriptures. I think that God likes it when we pray and we claim his promises. Not for his sake, but for ours. Yeah, pray the scriptures when you pray. And as they stand there before the temple in that new court, Jehoshaphat and his people, the Spirit of the Lord, as you read the story, the Spirit of the Lord comes upon a man named Jehaziel, son of Zedekiah. And he turns to everyone and he says in 2 Chronicles chapter 20 and verse 15, listen, all of you Judah and you inhabitants of Jerusalem, and you, King Jehoshaphat, thus says the Lord to you, do not be afraid nor dismayed because of this great multitude. For the battle is not yours, it's God's. Woo! The battle is not yours, it's God's. How would you respond to that? Here's how I would respond. Great, let's go home. God's going to do this one. Let's go back to our houses. Do you think that's what God was about to say? No. He continues. He says, the battle is not yours, it's God's, but you got to turn up. Hear the instructions. Tomorrow in verse 16, go down against them. They will surely come up by the ascent of Ziz, and you will find them at the end of the brook before the wilderness of Jeriel. You will not need to fight this battle. Position yourselves, stand still, and see the salvation of the Lord.
Yeah, we launched in Ephesians chapter 6, where God's desire for his people who are redeemed, who are loved, who had the assurance of heaven, God's desire for his people was for them to stand. Stand as soldiers, ready for battle, as our Pathfinders told us. And here, the instruction is given to them. Go down. You won't have to enter battle. And go down and you stand still. Hey, that reminds me of a story. It reminds me of a story of a people that had to stand still as well. What does it mean to stand still? Is standing still and inactivity the same thing? When God says stand still, does he mean for us to stand around? Let's go to that story that it reminds me of. It's found in Exodus chapter 13. In Exodus chapter 13, God brings his people out of Egypt with a mighty hand. He has shown himself mighty to Pharaoh. He has shown himself mighty to Egypt. And in the same way, he has shown himself mighty to his people. And he brings them up. And I just want to show you Exodus 13. We looked at this briefly in our closing Sabbath last week. Exodus 13, verse 17. Then it came to pass when Pharaoh had let the people go, that God did not lead them by the way of the land of the Philistines, although that was near, for God said, lest perhaps the people change their minds when they see war and return to Egypt. So God led the people around by the way of the wilderness of the Red Sea. And everything was fine and dandy from there. Instead of God took them by the way of the Red Sea, which was hard in itself. But in doing that, God was saving them from something that they would totally lose faith by. Right? Fall into the hands of the Philistines, knowing that it's a shorter road back to Egypt. Probably that would have, you know, it's nice and short. So God took them around the long way. Made sure they had to walk long if they wanted to get back to Egypt. Right? But he takes them there. And in God's leading, they find themselves trapped between an army coming through and the Red Sea. And they think, wow, this is what following God has gotten us into. In verse 13 of chapter 14, Exodus 14, verse 13. This is the story that it reminds me of. Moses said to the people, do not be afraid. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will accomplish for you today. For the Egyptians whom you see today, you shall see again no more forever. One of my favorite songs, my worship songs, is that song Still. You know that song? When the oceans rise and thunders roar. Sing with me. I will soar with you above the storm. Father, Father, you are king over the flood. I will what? I will be still and know you are God. Here we are. We got our backs against the wall. We don't know where we're going. Moses says, stand still, for you're going to see something happen. And I love God's response. You got to read God's response. Sorry, preachers have a weird imagination, right? You got to see God's response in verse 15. And the Lord said to Moses, why do you cry to me? Tell the children to go forward. Yeah. Don't stand around while you're standing still. Don't be inactive while you're standing still, waiting on God to move. Perhaps you're up against something this morning, and standing still for you means moving forward. Right? Move forward. Tell the people, don't stand around. Move forward and raise your rod, and the Red Sea is going to part. Perhaps you're up against something this morning where standing still means showing up and letting God work things out. Yeah. Go down. The message is to Jehoshaphat. Go down. You'll see them come up and stand still there God will fight for you. How do they respond? How do we respond? How do we respond when God moves? We're back in the story. Jehoshaphat bowed his head with his face to the ground. And all Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem bowed before the Lord, worshiping the Lord. Then the Levites of the children of the Kohathites and the children of the Korahites stood up to praise the Lord, God of Israel, with voices loud and high. The Kohathites and the Korahites, a bunch of the Psalms are written by them. You know that song, As the Deer Pants for the Water? That first verse of Psalm 42? Yeah, that's them. That's these guys right here, right? And you can see that it's not all smooth sailing when these verses are written. These verses are written out of hard times. Or the next day, when they turn up, they're ready to march. When Jehoshaphat lays everyone in order, he doesn't put the infantry first. He doesn't send out people with swords and arrows. What he sends out first is a group of singers. And they go forward before the army, praising the Lord. And the words of their praise are captured there in verse 21. Praise the Lord, for his mercy endures forever. I don't know what you're up against this morning, family. Don't know what you've been through. Some of you have been able to share, and I've witnessed some of the things that you've been through. And I don't know what's coming. And these things all have the ability to dry up our praise and to dry up our prayer life. And I just wanted to remind you this morning that your praise is a weapon. That the promises of God you can rely on. And that he'll show up in your life. So church family, may the Lord keep you and bless you. May he make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. May he lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen. We look forward with great joy to that moment, Lord, when you will come in the clouds. May we always be ready for it, Lord. We acknowledge also that there are times in our lives that we're up against things. And we've been up against things, and we will continue to be up against things. May we remember prayer. May we remember to keep our eyes on you. And may it not dry up our praise. May our praise continue to ring through the ages, Lord. So take us and keep us from this place. Bless all who have come this morning and families represented, Lord. I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.